From the Center for Investigative Reporting in PRX, this is Reveal. I'm Al Ledson. In Houston, Texas, emergency rescue workers struggled to keep up with thousands of 911 calls from people who were trapped by the floods. Private citizens in canoes, fishing boats, and even monster trucks rescued people who were stranded in their homes. Harvey, first a hurricane and then a tropical storm, poured a year's worth of water onto Houston, turning the city streets into rivers, damaging oil refineries, and forcing at least 30,000 people into emergency shelters.
It's a catastrophe. There's no other way to say it.
That's Nina Satija, a reporter based at our partner, the Texas Tribune. She arrived in Houston just before Harvey hit and spent the week recording what she saw.
So we were driving on this road yesterday, and we could easily pass it. There was some water on the road. Now it's basically a river. There was a big sign that said Houston Barbecue. You could see the whole sign yesterday, and now you can barely see the top of the word Houston.
Businesses and homes were flooded, and dozens of people died. We caught up with Nina in the middle of the storm. So, Nina, are you staying safe and dry first?
I am, although I was just coming from wading through some water in a couple of streets. We were driving these streets yesterday. They were totally clear. Today, they're in, I would say, two and a half feet of water. And it's caused in Houston simply from torrential rainfall.
So what have you seen in the past few days?
Well, it's really been catastrophic here, Al. Emergency personnel are still having a ton of trouble getting to rescue people. Here where I am, where you see a lot of high water streets, there's just private boats going around trying to get people who are stuck. A couple of days ago, we interviewed a family at an emergency shelter in downtown Houston.
5 a.m., around that, we flooded. Water started to come in.
Yeah.
And just nonstop.
They got scared on the second floor of their house. They felt like the water was rising. They didn't have power. They didn't have supplies.
Flooded up to here.
And, oh, my gosh.
Yes. And,
to your waist. Called 911, called 311. Could not get through to anyone. Kept calling. Eventually, a private boat came to get them out of their neighborhood, drop them to a grocery store. After that, another private citizen drove them from the grocery store to a pickup point. And again, a private citizen drove them to the Red Cross shelter. So it really shows that this area is in part depending on private citizens and just good Samaritans to go out there and help people out.
So what's next for the city in terms of cleanup?
I think this cleanup could take years. This waterlogged street that I'm standing right next to may look like this for at least several days, if not weeks. There are areas, especially around two reservoirs that are west of Houston, that officials say will be flooded for months. So this is not a quick recovery, and it's going to cost billions of dollars.
So I remember last year when you were working on this big story for both the Texas Tribune and Reveal, that you talked about a massive hurricane hitting Houston. And a lot of people, after hearing that and reading what you wrote, are saying that you predicted this. Did you?
No, I didn't predict it. A massive hurricane did not hit Houston head on. The area that as we have seen on the news, the area that got hit by the hurricane and the catastrophic storm surge, that's a wall of water that would hit neighborhoods as a result of hurricane force winds. That did not hit Houston. That hit another much smaller town. And hopefully we won't see any more deaths uncovered in that town. There was no massive hurricane that made a direct hit on Houston, which is what we talked about. However, the hurricane that hit outside of Houston produced so much torrential rain that it has really resulted in a catastrophe for Houston that feels like a hurricane, I will say. People have made comparisons to, you know, Katrina, Hurricane Ike, just going through these emergency shelters, seeing people trapped on their roofs, again, not because of flooding from storm surge, which was the primary cause from Katrina and the levees breaking, but just from torrential rainfall. So it feels like a hurricane has hit Houston, but in fact, that has not happened.
So, Nina, what you're telling me is that this isn't the big one, that this is, you know, a lot of water, a tropical storm, pretty bad, but not the big one. So the big one that you modeled was called Mighty Ike. What is Mighty Ike and what would it look like?
Oh, if the big hurricane hit Houston, if a Category 5 hurricane made a direct hit on the Houston Ship Channel, which is an industrial area near the city of Houston, we would see a far larger catastrophe. You know, oil production would be completely shut down. Oil refineries, chemical manufacturing plants would completely shut down and perhaps be damaged. There could be a major accident at one of those facilities. And of course, scientists have told us that thousands of people would probably die.
That's Reveal's Nina Satija, based at the Texas Tribune, reporting from Houston, Texas. Thanks, Nina.
Thanks, Al.
And we should note that the nation's largest refinery at Port Arthur near the Texas-Louisiana border was shut down because of flooding from Harvey. We're going to turn back now to Nina's original reporting about Mighty Ike. That's the hypothetical storm modeled on another hurricane, Ike, which hit Houston in 2008, causing $30 billion in damage and killed dozens of people. Like Harvey, Ike didn't hit Houston head-on. Instead, it turned at the last minute. So, what if a major hurricane actually hit the city? What could happen? In the fall of 2015, we teamed up with the Texas Tribune and ProPublica to find out. We got some pretty sophisticated storm models from scientists at the University of Texas at Austin and Jackson State University. They were run through hefty supercomputers to simulate what could happen if a hurricane like Mighty Ike hit Houston. It would go something like this. Mighty Ike forms as a huge cyclone in the ocean. It's so powerful, it's pushing all this water in front of it. So much so that 12 hours before the storm reaches the coast, Galveston Island is already completely underwater. Almost 50,000 people live there. When the storm makes landfall, the real storm surge hits, which means rising water meets hurricane-force winds. Imagine a shallow pan of water that's already overflowing. Then get a leaf blower and blow it across. The first place that leaf blower points is west, towards Clear Lake, a narrow body of water on the coast that runs a few miles inland. That is where we find Reveal's Nina Satija. Hi, Nina.
Hey, Al.
Okay, so tell me about Clear Lake.
So as you said, Clear Lake's a body of water, but it's also what people call a bunch of communities that are clustered around suburban Houston. More than 150,000 people live here, and the population's growing. We wanted to see what Mighty Ike could do to this area. So we went on a tour with someone who lives there, Sam Brody.
I'm ready.
Let's do it.
Sam's not just a resident. He's also an expert in flood planning. Sam moved here after Hurricane Ike. He works for Texas A&M University, and they wanted him to move here to study the area's vulnerability to flooding. Kind of funny for a guy who knows all about flood risk to move somewhere that floods a lot. But he loves it here.
My research is better because I every day I see these communities, and I'm part of a larger body of people working on these issues. It's better for my kids and my family. Every weekend we go to Houston and we do stuff.
Sam's wife and two kids are happy here. Good schools, nice neighbors, and the restaurants are great.
I've always wanted to go there. Ramen bar. That's a really good Italian restaurant right there.
Here's the thing, though. Sam knows Mighty Ike, or a storm like it, is coming. And Mighty Ike will pummel some of these low-lying neighborhoods we're driving through with more than 25 feet of water. Even much higher elevation points could see 8 feet or more.
It's gonna happen one day. It's gonna happen. Even without the increasing models that account for climate change and more severe storms, even without that.
Thousands of homes and businesses in Clear Lake are in deep trouble in Mighty Ike. That Italian restaurant that Sam likes, the area around it could see 6 feet of water. For some perspective there, I'm 5'3", so I'd basically be swimming. Sam took us to see houses that are standing on stilts 10 feet off the ground. But if Mighty Ike hit, people living there wouldn't be safe, not even on the second floor.
This sounds just like Katrina, with people trapped in their homes, climbing onto roofs. So, Nina, if folks know this is a hurricane-prone area, why aren't they more concerned about this?
Well, people know there's always a chance for hurricanes, but they don't seem to know how bad it could get in a storm like Mighty Ike. And most of the time, life is fine. I mean, picture this. You get to live by this gorgeous lake and marina. It's peaceful and quiet, but not too far from the bustle of downtown Houston. You've got a couple of major medical centers here, and you've got NASA's Johnson Space Center.
Yeah, I mean, that sounds nice, but what about the potential flooding?
Yeah, that's not something people really talk about. I mean, no one's crossing their lawn saying to their neighbor, "Hey, I've worked it out. We'll only have an inch of water inside when the big one comes." The communities clustered around Clear Lake have actually been some of the fastest growing in the country. And since Hurricane Ike, tens of thousands of people have moved here. And a lot of them aren't coming from the coast. They've never seen a hurricane. This is how Sam sees it.
So you're a professional. You moved to this area. And you're like, cool, I have a water view. I'm sure there's going to be some kind of boat launch.
Mm-hmm.
This is a great place to be. The last thing you think about is 20 feet of water coming up here.
To put that into perspective, think about it this way. It only takes 18 inches of water to float a car. So drive a modern car into 18 inches of water, and that force is enough to lift the car up off the ground and send it rushing off. Think about what even a few feet could do. That's why Sam was so careful when he bought a home here. He looked at the exact elevation, and he looked at all the flood defenses, from big to small. It's how he chose the block he lives on.
Did you purposely choose one next to the big storm drain?
Maybe. We're gonna go in.
The land behind Sam's house slopes way down to the water below, and the whole neighborhood's been raised several feet. In Mighty Ike, his house gets a couple inches of water. Not catastrophic. But
do you think that the new developments that are being built in this area, do you think that those developers are as responsible as...
No. No.
Sam drove us to a place called Nassau Bay Town Square. It's this new commercial development in Clear Lake. It's got a bunch of shops, an apartment complex, a hotel, and some offices.
And I could just tell the place is going underwater.
Under something like 6 feet of water, according to the computer models. Sam says the buildings might stay standing, but...
they'd be catastrophically damaged. It'd be a total loss. You know, you may have a structure, but it's not usable.
Any cars in the parking lot here would be goners. They'd turn into floating barges that ram into other things.
This is going to be a shopping center one day. And so we're going to add more people and more structures and more pavement. And so we have a decision that we can say, okay, if we're going to do that, can we do it differently? Does that make sense? Can we understand the risk better and have models like this? Like, hey, look, you could be under 8 feet of water. I would be shocked if the developers of that shopping center knew that when they put that in.
So what did the developers have to say? I mean, do they even know that this can happen?
So I called the developer of that shopping center, and he had no idea how high the water could get. He was kind of shocked. Because Nassau Bay Town Square is following the rules. It's up to code. It follows the local flood planning regulations. Those regulations just aren't designed to protect buildings from something like Mighty Ike. And the developer doesn't think they should be. Neither does this guy.
Bob Mitchell, president of the Bay Area Houston Economic Partnership.
Bob works in Nassau Bay Town Square, and his group recruits businesses to come to the Houston area. And he's pretty good at it.
We have 46 aerospace companies that are members. We have, 8 or 10 specialty chemical companies, 17 different banks.
If Mighty Ike hits, Bob knows what it does to his office.
It's underwater.
It's underwater. It's underwater.
Trust me, I know that.
Why keep expanding this development if...
I can't believe that's a serious question.
Why? Why does that sound such a...
Well, you're going to stop development? I mean, that's the same thing. There's no... That question you're asking me is no different than the terrorists right now. Am I going to stop everything I do because I'm worried about somebody going to charge into a store and shoot the place up?
That sums up the attitude a lot of people have. How do I know which impending catastrophe I should worry about? But there's no way of predicting when the next mass shooting is likely to happen or where. And we do know that the Houston area gets a major hurricane every 15 years. Bob said that himself a few minutes later.
Look at the statistics, okay? I mean, every 15 years, we have a major category 4 or 5 hit this region. So what are the odds? You know, one of these days, we're going to have a major catastrophe.
Bob doesn't think we should stop building because of the threat of Mighty Ike. He wants to start building something else, some kind of floodgate or levee system to protect Houston. And he's been arguing for one for years. But that type of thing might take decades to plan and build. Sam Brody wants to change things before then. Otherwise, it might be too late.
Bob has a terrific organization that serves a great purpose, and he's well positioned here, and the rent is such that it makes sense. And it makes sense until some kind of disaster happens.
More than 160,000 people live around Clear Lake. That number is growing every year. And more people are moving in who've never seen a hurricane. In fact, many didn't evacuate this area during Hurricane Ike, even when the National Weather Service said they might die if they stayed. If the storm hadn't turned at the last minute, a lot of people would probably have died in Clear Lake and Galveston. Even Bob Mitchell agrees.
I hate fear, but I'm going to tell you something. There would have been thousands of deaths. Thousands. I can assure you that.
That's a pretty dire prediction. But the damage to homes and even the loss of life, that's just the beginning. When we come back, we're going to follow the path of Mighty Ike to Houston's industrial complex, where there's another risk sitting on the waterfront. Billions of gallons of oil and dangerous chemicals in huge tanks. You're listening to Reveal from the Center for Investigative Reporting and PRX.